Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rock My Heart by Emma Nichols. Narrated by Patricia Shade. 1. The continuous monotone alarm was poor harmony for the measured voices in the surgical room at Bellevue Hospital. One more time. Madison Hernandez watched the thin white line move across the monitor, then studied the lifeless body on the bed. The sense of familiar peace chilled her bones, something she'd never managed to adjust to in her years as an emergency physician. As a specialist heart surgeon, she knew instinctively when someone wasn't coming back. To try again would be futile, and the next patient would be compromised, the time wasted. It was a delicate balance, a judgment call beyond the red tape and protocols that dictated procedural necessities. She closed her eyes for a moment to confirm her decision, an internal check that she would be accountable to both herself and to any inquiry that might be forthcoming if she was perceived to have screwed up. The sanity check she'd always deferred to with unwavering confidence before seemed to take longer now, and there was nothing more crippling and potentially ruinous than indecision. She took a deep breath and opened her eyes. No, I'm calling it. Time of death. She looked at the clock on the wall. 22:56. Can someone follow up with the police, please? I'll take that call, the senior nurse said. She didn't need to give any further instructions. Her team would shift seamlessly into action, clearing away, cleaning down, completing paperwork, and moving on to the next urgent case. She left the room, removed her gloves and gown, washed her hands, and stared at herself in the washroom mirror. She hadn't replaced the lipstick that had worn from her lips within an hour of her starting work, or repaired the foundation cream that she used now to hide the deep shadows below her eyes. In what little time she'd had between patients that hadn't been taken up with completing paperwork, attending meetings, or dealing with departmental issues, she'd chosen to sit and rest, to close her eyes, to block out the busyness that surrounded her. If her mama could see her, she would say she'd stopped caring about her appearance, that she lacked pride, and, more pointedly, that she would never attract un carazón if she looked as though she'd just fallen out of a whorehouse. She rubbed her eyes. It was already almost 3 hours since her shift should have ended. Not that time meant a great deal anymore. The hours merged into days, the days into weeks, the weeks into months. It had been 2 years since she'd taken more than a long weekend break from work. 26 months and 3 days since Lizzie had died in her arms. A shiver passed over her as if someone had stepped on her grave, and the vision of the woman on the ER table taunted her. She'd been someone's child, and possibly someone's mother. Had she made the right call? She tried to piece together the scenes to tick the procedural boxes, but her recollection was obscured by the woman's image, and she was slow to reconstruct the string of events into a cohesive and affirmative operation. She had to trust that she hadn't fucked up. Sudden cardiac arrest was responsible for more than half of the total heart disease deaths in the U.S., and the wealthy and the famous weren't immune. Judging by the woman's Balenciaga crewneck sweater and the white, gold, diamond-encrusted Rolex she wore, she appeared to be one of those women who had enjoyed wealth. The heavily wrinkled skin that aged her beyond her years and pale, puffy cheeks were clear indicators that she'd consumed a significant amount of alcohol, probably cocaine, too, judging by the slight disfiguration of her nose. Her faded perfume did little to conceal the smell of tobacco. She'd collapsed in a bar, and Maddie wouldn't be surprised at what the toxicology report revealed, given the woman's apparent tendency to self-medicate. Delays getting to her because of the sheer volume of Friday night traffic had significantly reduced her chances of survival. But Maddie couldn't stop worrying, not for the first time these past months. that she'd missed something. Yes, they were overworked, but that was nothing new, and every doctor was in the same position. They had to be resilient to tiredness. Fuck-ups just didn't happen at Bellevue. One strike, and you really were out. Hey, Maddie. She stirred from her self-doubts and smiled weakly. Her colleague, Lee, approached with a spring in her step and a broad smile. She looked as though she was just starting a shift rather than finishing it. You make me feel old. Lee shrugged. You are. Old enough to be my mom. Maddie laughed. She was nowhere near that age, though she felt it. Geez, thanks for the uplift. Lee slapped her on the back. Always here to help. You heading to the bar? Maddie hesitated. If her eyelids became any heavier, she wouldn't be able to keep her eyes open long enough for a shot, let alone a couple of beers. A yawn confirmed her reservations, but she needed some downtime and a sedative before trying to sleep. She needed to forget this day, if only for a couple of hours. Ah, come on, don't be a spoiler mom type. Who needs one of those? Maddie stifled another yawn. Sure. Cool. I've got a couple bits of paperwork. I'll be there shortly. Maddie nodded, and Lee turned toward the nurse who approached them. Maddie made her way out of the main entrance and walked straight into a wall of humidity. If she'd wanted a spa experience to end her day with, she wouldn't pick a New York street for the occasion. The contrast with the AC inside the hospital made walking feel like wading through molasses with a respirator mask on. She hated the feeling when working in full PPE, though sometimes the pollution levels in the city seemed to warrant greater protection than her work. She sidestepped two guys moving toward her as if they were late for an important date and broke out into a sweat. Moisture had coated every millimeter of her skin before she'd made it 50 yards up East 29th Street toward Patty Riley's, and breathing in the warm, damp, fume-filled air didn't make the walk any easier. She looked up to where she expected to see the stars. Even though it was a cloudless night, the sky was painted in a haze of soft light. New York, the city that never sleeps, bustling by day and hustling by night. A man nudged her shoulder as he passed. There was no time for stargazing anyway. Walking against the flow didn't create any airflow. It just took her longer to get to the bar and added to her irritation. Maybe there had been a time when she'd been entertained by the active city life, the heady rush that came with playing hard, and the relentless pressure that came with working in the ER. She couldn't recall the point at which the highs and the lows had merged into a kind of unconscious existence. Nothing had meant anything since Lizzie's death. Any happiness was superficial and fleeting, happening just often enough to give the illusion that it was attainable, just sufficient to keep her from the doors of depression. Who was she trying to kid? If she were the patient, she'd have prescribed Prozac already. Damien Rice's haunting voice made its way past her thoughts and added a little lightness to her step. She moved through the fair. One of her favorite songs was a sad, profound ballad that always seemed to touch something inside her and transport her to another time and space, to a place where love lasted a lifetime. Patty Riley's would be packed, as always. The promise of the cool Guinness, the best beer in the city, quickened her step. Or maybe she'd choose the soft warmth of the Bushmills Blackbush, with its subtle woody and malted barley flavors to lift the day or reduce the stress. Hopefully, both. Patty Riley's was the choice hangout of the Bellevue physicians. She would lose herself in its bustle, escape from the events of the day, and find solace in the gently numbing effect that came with slowly getting buzzed. Patrons milled around in the street outside. Some sipped their drinks and chatted animatedly, laughing raucously, while others sang along to The Hornblower's Daughter, badly. Their downtime had probably started a good number of hours earlier. Maddie stepped inside and picked her way through the crowded room to the bar. She lifted her chin and smiled to catch the attention of the bartender, a slender-hipped 20-something with a beaming white smile and a designer hairstyle that suggested he would be better placed on a Hollywood set. The landlord and bar's namesake approached from behind the young man. He said something to the kid, who changed direction and went to attend to another customer. "Well, good evening, Dr. Hernandez. Will it be a Guinness or Bushmills this fine evening?" It was the same welcome every time, with his soft Irish lilt that he hadn't let go of in his 50-plus years of residency in the country, which was good, since authenticity was vital to the success of a traditional Irish pub in the city. "A Guinness, Paddy. It's so damn hot."
"The AC is trying its best."
She laughed. If it was on, she couldn't feel it. She swept her bangs from her cheek and looked around the room for a familiar face. Finding none, she waited, pressured by the bodies around her that stood too close for comfort.
"Here you are."
Paddy passed the drink across the bar.
"Tough day?"
"Always." She gulped down half the beer. So much for the slow route to inebriation. It was too crowded to bother going back and forth to the bar. "I'll take another, Paddy." She took another long swallow and savored the bitterness and silk that cooled her throat. She'd almost finished it before Paddy returned with a second Guinness. "Thanks, you're a lifesaver."
Paddy laughed. "I'll leave that job to you."
She didn't feel like a lifesaver at all, especially not today. It was a crappy way to end her last shift before the vacation she'd had to fight so hard to get approved. Her stomach soured the Guinness. She took another swig and headed around the bar to a vacant stool. She sat with her back to the bar and tried to give her attention to the soft ballad that had quieted conversation inside the pub. It was one of Lizzie's favorite songs. The white head on the black beer quivered as she gripped the glass. She took a deep breath and closed her eyes, but all she could see was Lizzie. Peaceful. Asleep. Gone.
"Hey."
Maddie opened her eyes. "It's packed," she said, not missing Lee's gaze focused on her trembling hand. Lee didn't respond to her inane comment, and Maddie ignored Lee's quizzical expression. The bar was packed every night of the week, and with Damien Rice in the house, doubly so tonight. She lifted her glass. "Cheers. Here's to another crappy day in the office." Lee raised her glass. "Some we win, some we lose, huh? Don't be too hard on yourself." She took a sip of her drink and glanced around the room. "I guess so." Maddie swallowed down the bitterness that rose in her throat. The trembling inside wouldn't abate. It would take more than a couple of drinks for that to ease. Lee leaned toward her.
"You'll soon forget about it. I still don't know how you managed to negotiate a month's vacation out of those fuckers."
Maddie didn't want to get into that conversation. "Rumor has it you screwed the boss, of course." Lee smiled at someone across the room. Maddie was too tired to care about hospital gossip or the inevitable criticism that would be levied at her for abandoning her colleagues. She'd been torn, asking for the extended unpaid leave, but if she hadn't pushed for it, she might have ended up taking sick leave just to avoid making a devastating mistake. It galled her to accept that the standard long weekend wasn't going to give her the mental relief she needed, but saving her job was more important, and that meant she had to go. As it was, she'd had to plan the vacation months ago and work around the hospital rather than her own needs. The truth was, she'd been hanging onto her sanity by a thread for far too long now, and this day hadn't come quickly enough.
"Fuck what the rest of them say, huh? I think it's great, and Lizzie wouldn't want you living like this."
Maddie stopped short of rolling her eyes. She was sure Lee meant well, but recently she'd gotten the impression that Lee just wanted Maddie around so she had someone to hang out with while she scoped out other women. They'd had the
Lizzie wouldn't want conversation more than once in the past 6 months. Why did the living always think they knew what the dead would want them to do? It was a crappy attempt to alleviate survivor guilt that only made matters worse. Overworking had kept her sane, but her delayed reactions were noticeable. She was processing information too slowly and questioning her decision-making when she should be confident and incisive. She'd been hiding her grief behind the demands of the job. She hadn't messed up, and she never would, no matter what it took. But it was taking too much of her now. Her anger had dissipated quickly when she'd finally accepted she was struggling. It didn't make leaving the hospital easy, though, and a big part of her wanted to stay. Still, what was she supposed to do with 4 weeks off? Jostle with the thoughts in her head, wrestle with negativity, relive her irritation with her own inadequacies, and be consumed by sadness and regret. It was possible the break could be more damaging to her sanity and destroy her confidence. It was too long to be out of the fire. Nevertheless, she didn't really have a choice.
Honestly, you're burned out.
Maddie shrugged. Aren't we all?
That's not the point.
Then what is?
Lee shook her head. You need to work through your shit.
Maddie sipped her drink. She didn't need Lee telling her what she already knew.
Thanks.
Lee huffed.
What if you end up making a serious mistake? You'll never live with yourself. If you fuck up, it affects us all, Maddie.
Maddie allowed the spark of anger to fizzle out and lowered her gaze to the drink in her hand. At least Lee had the integrity to talk to her directly. There were other colleagues who would simply raise their concerns with her boss and watch her be called on the carpet so they could jump into her position as she vacated it. The pleasantly numbing effect of the Guinness didn't touch the painful truth. Her hesitation could cost a life. And Lee was right. She wouldn't be able to live with herself if that happened.
You'll be fine once you get away. God knows you need it. You've had a crappy few years.
Maddie took a long slug of the drink and thought about the retreat at the Wild Horse Ranch in Austin, Nevada that she'd booked. An ex-patient had spent time there. He'd been so vehement about how wonderful it was while she treated him that the location had stuck with her. It was a living ghost town off US 50, the loneliest road in America. She wasn't a huge fan of horses, and the Nevada terrain, with its high plains and arid desert, couldn't be more different from New York. A million miles from this soulless city, certainly cooler, and she'd be away from people. If she broke down there, no one of any significance would know about it. Lee was right. She needed to take advantage of this vacation to get herself back on track.
Hey, maybe you'll find yourself a nice cowgirl. Lee laughed.
The thought of getting involved with someone caused the Guinness to turn in her stomach. No thanks. She would take the time to reflect, to mourn the loss of Lizzie, and chill out, and she would return to work refreshed and refocused.
2.
You going to the dance next Saturday?
Nope.
Devon swung the lump hammer over her head and down hard onto the stake Cody was holding, nudging it an inch deeper into the rocky surface. Devon swung again and landed the metal head with a force that should have resulted in more than another half inch of movement, but it barely shifted. Working the canyon's arid terrain was backbreaking on the best of days, but with 2 miles of fence to repair in the driest summer on record, it was painstaking. It would take weeks until fall for them to get it finished. She landed another hit and smiled as the post shifted a good inch. That son of a coyote's going nowhere. She straightened her back and rubbed her forearm across her mouth.
You know, Ella's going to be there.
Devon swiped at the sweaty streak of dust and dirt that stuck to the hairs on her arm.
Yep.
She ambled to her truck and pulled 2 bottles of water from the cooler in the front.
She threw one across to Cody and downed the best part of the other bottle in one long, steady slug.
She likes you. A lot.
Devon leaned against the front fender and rested her heel on the rail behind her. She nudged the brim of her hat up a fraction and closed her eyes, savoring the sun and its late evening warmth.
Yep.
Nothing could beat the sound of almost silence, with just an echo of a breeze that moved through the canyon.
She's hot. You should give her a chance.
She opened her eyes and squinted at Cody.
She's a friend, Cody, nothing more. You want to try your luck? Go for it.
She laughed. Cody wasn't brave enough to approach Ella, even though she clearly had strong feelings for her.
It's you she's crushing on,
Cody said, though it sounded more like a question than a statement. Devon shook her head. It's not happening. She looked out across the high plains at US 50 in the distance. Nothing but desert and grassland between them and the main road leading to civilization. This place was perfect.
I thought you were into her.
Devon frowned. Surely Cody knew there was nothing between Ella and her, and never would be. She'd considered the idea briefly when she'd been feeling lonely one winter a few years back, but decided that if they got involved, it would most likely destroy the friendship they had. Mind-blowing sex wasn't worth losing that. Ella was attractive, with long blonde hair and baby blue eyes that caught the attention of many an unsuspecting male passing through Austin. They didn't stand a chance of getting near her, of course, and she always let them down gently. She was like that, gentle and caring. They'd been friends since school, and they got along in the same way an old married couple might. She was a teacher at the local school, was great with kids, and even shared Devon's passion for classic cars. It might be natural and simple to slip into a physical relationship with a few women of interest locally, but what would happen when it didn't last? She knew it wouldn't, because seeing Ella didn't cause her breath to hitch, and she didn't think about Ella every hour of the day or night.
You don't give up, do you?
You two look so easy together, is all I'm saying.
I look easy around the horses. Doesn't mean I'm gonna marry one. Cody threw her empty water bottle at Devon.
Ass.
I won't be marrying a mule, either. Devon laughed. Help me with these crossbars. She walked to the back of the truck and lifted a half-moon-shaped 6-foot pole from the trunk. Cody picked up the second pole and laid it out between the two stakes.
Are you going to the dance?
Devon lifted the wood at one end and held it against the upright. Cody took the other end and kept it horizontal as Devon nailed her end into the post.
Nope.
She walked to Cody's end and secured it, then the second bar. She retrieved the third bar from the truck and fixed that, enjoying the silence that had settled between them. With the bars fitted, Devon picked up the lump hammer and threw it into the back of the truck.
Are you staying for dinner?
What are you cooking?
I thought I'd toss up a salad with Thai shrimp.
Cody shook her head.
That won't touch the sides. I'm ravenous.
I'm kidding. Mom's cooked chicken wings. Lots of wings. It's the retreat's guest's last dinner before they head off tomorrow and the new ones arrive.
She patted Cody on the back. Come on, we'll fill your belly.
For your mom's wings, count me in.
Devon climbed into the driver's seat and turned the engine. As she drove along the dirt road, Cody stole glances toward her from the passenger seat as if she was holding back from saying something.
What's up?
Will you come with me to the dance?
She looked Cody up and down and slowly smiled.
Are you asking me on a date?
She watched Cody's cheeks darken and laughed.
I'm kidding with you.
Cody crossed her arms tightly.
You want a chaperone so you can talk to Ella?
Ass?
Devon laughed.
It's okay. Your secret's safe with me. I'll go with you.
Cody relaxed her arms and leaned toward Devon.
You will?
Yep.
Watching you all stoked up and tongue-tied has got to be worth seeing.
Cody punched her arm.
I don't know why I call you a friend. You're such an ass.
I know.
So,
9 o'clock next Saturday. We have a date?
Yuck, no.
Cody looked down her nose and curled her lips, then broke into a broad grin. Truth is, she won't go for me while she wants to get in your pants.
Quit messing. She doesn't. And even if she did, I'm not interested in her that way. Do you want me to tell her that?
Cody blushed.
Maybe.
Devin frowned and glanced across at Cody.
You're really into her.
And don't call me an ass. You're soft for her.
Cody crossed her arms and leaned back into the seat as if making herself smaller.
Don't be embarrassed. It's cool. You'd be a great catch.
You reckon so?
Yeah, I do. You're every femme's dream, and there's not a lot of choice around here.
Was that a backhanded compliment?
I mean, she'd be lucky to have you.
Devin steered with her elbow as she worked the cap off a water bottle.
Straight up, she would be. You're honest, kind, and hardworking.
She took a long slug, and
kind of good-looking in the right light.
Cody's smile widened. You really can be such an ass. Devin brought the truck to a stop outside the stables next to the ranch house. She climbed out and headed toward the barn.
I just need to drop some hay for the horses. Are you helping or standing around watching me work?
She looked around when she didn't hear Cody behind her. She was busy staring with her mouth open wide enough to catch the horse flies. Ella was walking toward them from the house. Devin hid her laugh, went back to Cody, and hooked her arm around Cody's neck.
Hey, honey, what brings you here?
Ella looked from Cody to Devin and back again, her frown deepening.
You two look like you're up to something.
Devin stepped away from Cody and held out her hands.
Us?
Nah, we're just about to feed the horses and then we're done. Are you staying for dinner? Devin asked. It was fun watching Cody squirm.
Thanks, I'd love to.
Ella glanced at Cody.
Hi, Cody.
Cody turned to Devin.
I just remembered I have to get going. I'll feed the horses first, then I'll scoot.
She cleared her throat as she shuffled away.
Hi, Ella.
Cody increased her pace toward the barn. Devin watched Ella staring at the back of Cody until she was out of earshot. Ella pinched her lips together and fiddled with her hands. Devin took a step toward her.
Is everything okay?
Sure. I just need to ask you a huge favor.
Devin shrugged.
For sure. What do you need?
I know after Todd, this is a tough ask, but you know the new girl who's staying with Pastor Williams and his family?
Ella had mentioned something about the latest kid being looked after by the family, but she'd not given the conversation her full attention for fear of getting too interested.
Vaguely?
Well, now we're heading into summer vacation. She's a bit of a loner, and I wondered if...
Devin shook her head.
I can't, Ella.
Please, a couple of hours a day. It doesn't have to be every day. I just think it'd be really helpful for her to be around the horses, and you're so good with kids.
Devin had gotten too close to the last kid she'd helped Ella with. When Todd left to go to a permanent home, it broke her heart. As she recalled his rosy cheeks and broad grin, the ache was as strong as it had been at the end of the last summer when he'd walked away from the ranch for good. She was fine with teaching the kids in small groups and with the adults who came on retreat, but the orphaned children that needed something more, loving and caring for, it was too much for her to take. Ella was staring at her with pleading eyes.
How could she say no?
Ella was an amazing teacher and passionate about helping the most vulnerable kids this side of Las Vegas. She couldn't let her down, and she couldn't let the kid down. She'd try to keep an emotional distance this time, though. A couple of hours a day should be more manageable than the whole of the kid's summer vacation.
How long for?
Ella looked away briefly.
The rest of the summer vacation, maybe 6 weeks. Her mom's at a drug rehab program, but I don't think she'll ever be well enough to look after Alice, and she has no other family.
Ella's voice broke.
It could take time to get her into a permanent home.
Devon sucked air through her teeth as her chest constricted with her conflicting thoughts. She had to do the right
sample complete. Ready to continue?